who was here last week when Renton taught? Anybody? Yeah? Can you guys fill me in on what you guys went over? He said he taught about knowledge. He said you guys got to play with some scissors. Everybody has all of their appendages, it looks like. What did you guys go over? Somewhere, Brenton is in a corner crying right now because you guys can't tell me. I didn't get to hear about it.
He's in Thomas
Friends. Huh?
He's in Common Friends.
I know. Well, what did he go over? Do you remember anything from last week?
The scissor game.
He played a scissor game.
What was the scissor game? What would you do with the scissors? What was the point of the scissor game?
We, like, passed them around and we passed them open. Or, like, yeah, we had to, like, receive them and then pass them. And
we have no pattern.
Yeah, like sent received. Isn't there a game like?
No, like you pass it if your legs are like this, then you would pass it open.
Yeah.
And then if it was like this, then you would pass it closed.
How long did it take you guys to figure it out? Quite a bit.
Cameron kind of spoiled it because he yelled it out once he noticed it.
Oh. But was it just you three here?
No, it was me, those two, and then Cameron and Jacob.
You guys don't remember anything he said about the word of God, man. See where your priorities are at. Give you guys a weapon. You guys, that's all you can think about the rest of the time. Automated point of emphasis going into the new year. We've been going through the Planted series. The goal for this entire series, the last several weeks, is to be rooted in God, to establish a relationship if we don't have one with God already, to grow and build upon the relationship that we do have, to like planting a seed in the ground. You want to establish it in the soil, and then you want to water it so that it can grow and become whatever it's going to grow to be. So in order to grow and do what God intended for us, we need to understand what He wants from us. And that's why we started week one of the series talking about the Great Commission. Again, who remembers where it was at? Anybody? Piece of candy if you can tell me where. It's in the Gospels. What chapter?
Wasn't it Matthew?
Yeah, Matthew what? Huh?
27.
No, you're right in the 20s. What?
24.
Nope.
25.
Nope.
28.
Who's got their Bible, by the way?
Me.
You guys. Can you? Yeah? Okay.
Did you bring a Bible, Noah? Did you bring a Bible? Oh, I thought I saw you.
Can I get the Swedish fish?
No,
that's
not.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, okay.
Scam.
Alright. You don't want none of it? Tootsie Roll?
I'll do that first.
You want Tootsie Roll? She didn't want to gift it to you. She didn't want to gift it to anybody either. Yes, Great Commission, Matthew 28. Do you remember what it says? Just a rough summary. Can anybody even summarize what the Great Commission is? I'll start the go.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations.
Yes. And the last time that we were together, we talked about the ups and downs that come with being a Christian. Like the struggles and that you guys can go through, the things that you're going to experience. You're all in junior high now. Some of you are getting ready to enter high school. Some of you just got into junior high. So you, in the last year, you guys can understand, you know, being a Christian in today's world, it's not easy. There's all kinds of temptations on our phones, that society has for us, the friend groups, all of that, and that sometimes we can stray away from God. Obviously, that's not ideal. We don't want to do that. God doesn't intend for us to stray away from Him. But no matter how much we try to deny Him in our lives or how far away from Him we stray, that once you have a personal relationship with God, once you're saved, then God's always going to accept you back. We talked about that God is forgiving and He's loving. He never wants us to go astray, but no matter what, no matter how far, He's always going to accept us back. So I think it is good that last week Brenton talked to you guys about knowledge, even though none of you guys can reiterate what he talked about to me. Knowledge is important. It's important that you have the information that you need to be able to defend yourself, to be able to stand up for what you believe in. If you don't know anything about golf, but you're passionate about golf, Lincoln, and somebody is arguing with you about something and you don't know about it, you know, you love golf and that's okay. But if you don't know, you don't have the information to back up the things that you want to say about it or to defend why you love it, then you're going to feel like you're cornered. You're going to feel like you're inadequate in that conversation. It's important that you have the knowledge so that you have a firm footing to plant your feet on, so that like when a situation arises or something comes up, you know how to navigate that situation. That's why when you guys turn 15 and you get your learner's permit, that you have to drive with somebody so you can learn, so you can get the knowledge, simple knowledge of driving. All of you guys ride in a car right now, and I'm sure most of you are like, I can handle that, that's easy. But it's a lot different when you're behind the wheel, when you're responsible for stoplights, when to brake, when not to brake, where to stop, where to turn, you know, what people around you are doing. It's not as easy. So in order to build confidence, you have to get knowledge in driving, and that way you can grow. So everything you guys are taught at church, everything that you're shown, all the thing that God has given you guys, like through being here, is to help strengthen you, help to grow your knowledge of Him, even if you guys don't see it as so. The reason that you sit in these classes and it's boring, you remember the games, but you don't remember what we're talking about. But God is planting that seed somewhere in your mind. There are, I know, at times in your guys' lives when you're out and you hear a memory verse, you know, you hear something said and you're like, oh, I remember hearing that at church. You hear a story. We went and watched David while we were in Branson, and I would imagine that all three of you guys can say, like, there were parts of the play that you guys were like, I remember learning about this. I mean, obviously David and Goliath, but there's other parts of that, the play where you're like, oh, I remember that. I remember that. You don't know where it was at in the Bible. You don't know what book it was in, but you just remember learning about it. So God is planting that seed. And right now you might be asking, when I said, like, knowledge to defend yourself, why would I need to defend myself? Why would I need a firm footing to stand on? Like, everything in my life is good. Why do I need knowledge on God? What would be the purpose of that? Which is where we're going to be at today. I want to switch over. We've been reading through the Gospels. We've been learning about the life of Jesus. We've been learning about His disciples and what, like, following Jesus was like for them. Today we're going to turn to Acts. And this is after... everything that's taken place in the book of Acts is taking place after Jesus had ascended to heaven, and He's taken His seat at the right, or, you know, He's standing at the right hand of the Father. So as a Christian, as somebody that believes in God, you're going to face persecution. Odds are, if it has to do with Jesus, no matter what it is, there's going to be opposition from the adversary. That Satan does not like, anything good for God, anything glorifying to God to go forward. When we went to camp a couple years ago, we got a flat tire on the bus, or the van, you know, that's the devil. He just doesn't want us to get to camp. The guys from Monmouth, there was a bad wreck, you know. Every year it seems like as we're planning and leading up to that event, something happens. Somebody gets sick, somebody can't go, just something comes up. And it's because what we're going to do that week is full of, it's very spiritual. It's very glorifying to God. Kids get saved. Kids have just like an opening or awakening moments. They make professions of faith. They say they're going to change this in their life. And the devil just doesn't want that kind of stuff to happen. So as Christians, it's important that we have the knowledge as well as a strong personal relationship with God to protect us to protect ourselves when that kind of stuff happens. Like knowing your Bible, knowing what you need to know will help you to combat like any situation that you deal with. When whether it's a kid at school and you're like, yeah, I go to church on Wednesday, and they come at you with like, you go to church, you know, what a weirdo, or a Bible thumper, or whatever, or why do you go to church, or what's the point of going to church, you know, I sleep in on Sundays, or I'm playing Fortnite when you're at church, or whatever, it gives you the knowledge to be able to stand up for your faith, to stand up to that person in that time. Like, I go to church. Most of you rebuttal right now might be, I go to church because mom and dad make me. And I pray that's not only the case. I pray that when you're here, you guys do have some fun, some fellowship. Maybe there is somebody that you come to church and that you like look forward to seeing, like me, maybe Kendra. Like, I hope that you're not here only because your parents are dragging you. So we're going to look at, in the book of Acts, we're going to be looking at Acts 6 and 7. And it's about Stephen. For those of you goobing out, no, I didn't do this on purpose. We're going to these for a reason. Are any of you familiar with the story of Stephen? Do you even know who Stephen is?
That's my dad.
That's your dad?
Stephen.
Is that his first name? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. I don't know. I was just known him as Luke. Luke Stephen? Stephen Luke.
Isn't Luke
No, his name's not Luke. We just gonna start calling him Stephen from now on.
No, Stephen Luke, because
what his middle name? I know. I didn't know that. When we all leave here, we're calling him Stephen.
Yeah. His dad named Steve.
Yeah.
And it was two. Yeah.
For those of you familiar with the story, I'm going to do my best to summarize it as we go along. I'm going to read in Acts chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. And then I'll break down kind of what's happening in this scenario, in the situation. It says, and in the, does anybody want to read it? Offer your opportunity. Who's there? Anybody? Nobody. Nobody's even there. Do you not have a Bible?
Oh, I'm in it.
You're in it? You just don't want to read it. Do you need a Bible, Noah?
Yeah,
I got one. We got some up here.
Acts chapter 6. Bruh, I'm almost exactly to where we needed to be. That's how good I am. Adeline, you got yours out? Lainey? We don't work. What is that? What is that? That does not have near the computing power that this thing right here has. The Word of God.
I can know every single math problem in the entire world with that.
And yeah. This will help you to try to get there as well. You don't have yours, do you?
No.
Ethan, John, you don't have one either, do you? Dang.
Boy.
What do we always get a Bible? Always. Ethan, here you go.
Can you open it?
I'll open it for you. I got you.
Ethan can share with Adam if he likes it.
I think I got another one back here. You can get to chapter 6. Yeah, give it to me. Share with Adeline.
Bro.
Chapter 6. Okay. Alright, does anybody want to read verses 1 through 5? Show of hands. Don't everybody jump at once. Nobody. You want to read them? 1 through 5. Okay, real nice and loud. Of the Grecians, yep.
Grecians against Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among the 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip,
and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, yep. Yep.
And Nicholas and proselyte of Antioch.
Yep, a proselyte of Antioch. Okay, so what's happening in this situation? 12 disciples. Ethan, where you at, buddy? 12 disciples. They are so busy, they got so much going on, that they are neglecting their responsibilities. It says in verse 1, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. It says, and the 12 called on the multitude of disciples unto them, and it said, it's not reason. It doesn't make sense for us that we should have to leave the word of God to serve the tables. So they're so busy that they're neglecting minor tasks or tasks that they have. So what they do is they decide that they need to appoint men to take care of these smaller deeds so that they don't have to get out of the word. Like it says in verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They want to be able to dedicate all their time to praying and to getting God's word where it needs to go, to ministering the word to the people. So they appoint disciples, or not disciples, deacons, so to speak. As you can see, they appoint deacons, which are men of honest rapport, full of the Holy Ghost, to handle these duties. And you see in verse 5 that the first one they talk of is Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. So if you continue reading out throughout that chapter, Stephen's doing great works for God. He's performing miracles. He's doing all these things. He's full of the Holy Ghost. People start to get jealous. People in the Sadducees or the Pharisees, like the priests, the religious people. Guys, I'm going to divide you. Pay attention. All right, pay attention. They start to get jealous, so they start to murmur among themselves, and they start to make up lies and rumors about Stephen, saying he's doing things that he's not really doing. So then we, you read on, and you get to the end of chapter 6, and it says, "And they all sat in the council looking steadfast at him, and saw his face, and it had been the face of an angel. Then said to the high priest says to Stephen, he says, are all these things so?" And for the sake of time, we're not going to read the entire chapter of chapter 7. But throughout all of 7, what Stephen's doing is he preaches a sermon, and he lists off a bunch of facts about what has happened to the Israel. Like how they have denied God, how God sent Moses to them, and with Abraham, he promised them all this land, and then Moses, the prophet, and how Israel, every time that God gave them an opportunity, they had denied it. He's given them all these things. He's put prophets in front of them, all of this, and the whole chapter is basically, is Stephen defending himself by using the knowledge of Israel's past, how they were before Jesus, and this is after Jesus, and how they have continually killed and or denied everything that God has given them. Like we've gone through this. I think we went through it over several times in the last year when we were going through the Bible. Remember when we went through each of the prophets and each chapter of the Bible? You guys remember going through that with Luke? We had the binder, and every week we went over a different book. And every time that we would get there, we'd go through a different prophet, and we'd see the same thing. He prophesies what God's telling him to do, and then eventually he's killed or denied by the people of Israel. In Samuel, he gives them, they want a king, even though God is their king. God wants them to, he wants to be their only ruler, but they're like, no, all these other tribes got a king, I want a king. So all Stephen is doing is he's using his knowledge of what he knows about Israel's past, and he's presenting those facts to the priest. And obviously, when he opens up and he shares all of this, a lot of it hit home for the high priest. And all of them, they took it personally. So much so that in chapter 7 it says they cry out and they drag Stephen out and they stone him. They kill him. They throw stones at him to the point that where he dies. And it says, I don't know, I'm going to try to find the, at the end of it, it says, "And he kneeled down and he cried out a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin on their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep." So even in this moment, he's getting stoned to death. He's like, Lord, don't lay this sin on these people. They don't know what they're doing. But again, they deny God. Again, God presents them with everything that they've done from past to present, basically giving him an opportunity, like, here, this is all you guys, every time you guys are given the opportunity to just follow God and believe what God's doing or trust what God's doing in your guys' life, they deny him. So as a Christian, you're going to face persecution. The point of going through this story, the point of talking about Stephen is not because I want you guys to go out and be a martyr. I don't want you guys to die for what you believe in. But I do want to ask the question to you guys. Would you stand up to someone to protect your faith? Would you use the knowledge that you guys have gotten from church, the knowledge you have about God, the knowledge of what Jesus did for you, would you stand up to someone for what you believe in? It's focused on church, but I would hope that each and every one of you would stand up for what you believe in, whether it be God or anything that you're passionate about. But because that's what Stephen is doing here. He's faced with persecution from people renowned. These people are priests. They're religious people. The most holy of holies during this time. People who claimed to be, at least. And so he's standing up to these people. And like I said earlier, if something has to do with God, then Satan's going to do everything he can to tarnish or distort it. But if we continue to read farther into Acts, you're going to see in chapter 8 that God takes what happens to Stephen. He takes the persecution that he faces, his death, and he uses it to get God's word where it needs to go, to fulfill the Great Commission. in chapter 8, it reads on and says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at this time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word." So Stephen, again, tells them, makes them feel convicted of what they're doing. And for that, for him standing up for what he believed in, he's stoned to death. The devil is going to take every shot he can at you guys, the more you progress in your faith, as well as in life. Any chance that the devil has, any opportunity that he has, his ultimate goal is to get you guys disconnected from God, as disconnected as he can. And if we don't understand this, if we don't have the proper knowledge to defend ourselves and to stand firm in what we believe, then it's going to put us in a very bad place. You're going to end up falling off a cliff. He's going to use the friendships that you guys make, friends that you guys grow close to. He's going to use them to help pry you away from church. He's going to use them to help get you doing things or get you farther away from your relationship with God. Sometimes he'll use the church. He'll present you with an opportunity to go somewhere that maybe is more appealing, somewhere that, you know, you have a good time, but where the Word of God isn't really being taught, where the Word of God isn't really being shared with you. You know, it's fun, it's exciting, but no one there is really growing. No one there is taking an opportunity to step out. No one there is taking an opportunity to make sure that they're doing everything they can to honor and glorify God. Satan knows no bounds. When it comes to trying to destroy what God is trying to do, that's why it's so repetitive, it seems like, from me and from Luke and from Pastor Brian. It seems so redundant and so weekly that we be praying, that we be in the Word, that you guys are taking time, setting aside time in your daily lives to spend a few minutes with God, to read the Psalms of the day, to read the Proverbs of the day, to do what we can to grow our knowledge. So that we can defend ourselves when situations like this arise, when situations like what happened to Stephen arise in our lives, when somebody comes at us for our faith, huh? Okay. So next Sunday, we're going to be going into a new year. You guys, I pray that as this year wraps up, that you guys take a moment, that you're diligent to pray about what next year holds for you guys. I don't know if any of you guys make New Year's resolutions. Has anybody ever made a New Year's resolution? Do you guys know what that is? You have? Yeah.
They made me in like second grade.
They made you?
Yeah, they
people
made
force
it.
You?
They made it.
Well, it's important that you do. If you're not taking a moment to reflect on what has happened in your life up to this point, what has happened in even the last year, and then to try to build upon it in the next year, then like, what are you doing to stop things from happening? If you made a poor decision and you don't look back and you're like, man, like, you know, I messed up. I did this, you know, I lied or whatever it is, and it gets you in trouble. If you don't look back and be like, man, maybe I shouldn't do that in the future. If you're not taking a moment to look back and reflect on what happened in the past and then make it a point as a new year comes up to try to change that things, to change those things, then what are you doing? Like, you need to help yourself. You need to help yourself grow. It's important for you guys to reflect. Reflect on what the year has done for you. Reflect on your relationship with God. How camp affected you guys. How new school has affected you. Some of you guys went into sixth grade this year. You're in middle school. It's a new building. Or you're in a whole new school completely. Some of you guys are getting ready to go into high school. Some of you guys are going to have to pick classes that are going to affect your future. You'll have to think about what high school will look like for you. You got to take time to pray about what God has intended for you in your life. Be praying about what God is going to use you for. I know, like I said in the beginning, some of you are here just because mom and dad brought you. I pray that that's not always the case, but I do pray that you don't squander what you do get here, that you are praying about what God does have intended for your life, even if you don't know what that is, even if you don't know what that may look like. It's important to look back and what has happened and not to dwell on it, but to prepare and on how to move forward from that and how to build upon it. So next Sunday will be our last week, likely in the Planted series. It'll be our last week of me just kind of hammering the drum for you guys to look upon a new year. We will be. This is the last Sunday of 2025. Next week will be a new year. Next week we'll be finishing up this Planted series. Sam is going to be coming in and teaching. After that, I'll be gone again for a week. So be praying about. You know, praying for Sam, praying for next year and what it looks like for you guys. And ask yourselves if you guys are willing to be the next Stephen, or if you guys are willing to live your lives with the knowledge to defend what you guys believe in. We need more Stephens in the world today. We need more people willing to stand up and believe, stand up for what they believe in and what they know to be true. So let's pray and then